night when I walked in and saw the good crowd for opening night of the youth conference, I felt encouraged that this would be a great youth conference. And a good number of folks here this morning for the morning service and devotion. I appreciate the opportunity to minister to you. We just ask God to direct our hearts today that we might glean from His Word something that would strengthen, bless, minister, instruct, well, whatever our needs might be. I know you were just standing and you just sat down, but I'd like to ask you to stand again if you would. I appreciate the spirit of worship and praise. And I would like for us to just do a little exercise of worship for a while and praise and open our hearts to the Spirit. I don't see a musician here, but maybe we could do it without it. If we had lived many years ago, we wouldn't have had an organ and a piano to help us anyway.
Amen.
And if you were living in Jamaica today, in many of the churches, you wouldn't have an organ or a piano. The song leader would simply step to the front and they'd start singing and you'd sing along with them without any accompaniment. The accompaniment is beautiful, we love it, but that isn't the important thing. The important thing is our hearts and our worship and our love and our praise and our adoration towards God. So why don't we just do an exercise of worship today and open our hearts and the Spirit and let's sing. Hey, we got a pianist there. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you turn around and shake hands with two or three folks around you and say, praise the Lord, and you may be seated. Well, it's great to be at Reading at the Youth Conference. And I feel like there's going to be a great conference, God ministering to our hearts. And we look forward to every blessing. I've been asked today to teach on the spirit of the Lord's Prayer. So we'll do our best to get something from this that will be a blessing and strength. And we ask the Lord's anointing and blessing upon it. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. I think that this is also recorded in Matthew, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. First of all, there, if we talk about the spirit of the Lord's Prayer, we talk about the spirit of the men that requested that he teach them to pray. I don't know what they had heard from John's disciples. I don't know what they had felt. But I do know one thing, that when you hear someone pray that knows how to pray and touch God, it inspires your heart to want to pray. Amen. You can walk into a prayer meeting, and if everything's quiet, then you may find a place and quietly kneel down and go about your praying your own way. You walk into a prayer meeting where folks are praying aloud and in a spirit of prayer, and somebody's touching God, it inspires a desire in your heart to want to go pray. We had a singles retreat a few weeks back up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and on Saturday morning I was scheduled to teach one of the lessons, and I had gotten in just a few minutes before my time, and when I walked into the lodge, I heard the sounds of praying. My sister had just finished teaching a lesson on dedication, and the hearts of those folks were touched. When I walked into that place, I didn't have a desire to do anything in the world but join with them in prayer, because the spirit and the power of their prayer was drawing me to prayer. And prayer has a chain reaction. That's why even, and this may be off the subject, but that's why in our altar services, everybody does it their own way. For about 4 years now, I don't make an altar call like I used to make, except very rarely. But at the end of our services, there's probably not one service out of every 2 or 3 months that I end other than this. Bible study night, Sunday night, and then many times also on Sunday mornings as we're able to with our schedule. I call everybody to the front, and we're able to get nearly everybody down that way. All the sinners, the visitors, everybody comes down to the front. Just make a general appeal for everybody. Invite all of our friends and visitors to join with us as we walk to the front. And I've watched it happen many times. When they come down, there may be a woman walk down with a pantsuit on. And she's obviously not one of our members. And she may be a member of another church. She may not be. She may be just, may not consider herself to be anything in God. You see men walk down there with the outline of cigarette packets still in their shirt pocket. And they walk down to the front generally out of respect to the pastor that's invited everybody to come down. And then we encourage our folks to just open their hearts and begin to praise the Lord and to pray. And when they do, I've encouraged our folks to be alert, to be sensitive to the Spirit and watch. And I've watched these folks come to the front and stand in the altar area. They didn't walk down there with tears in their eyes. They didn't walk down there necessarily just to repent or to receive the Holy Ghost. They just came down to the front because everybody else was coming, and they came out of respect. But the spirit of prayer that begins to move through that congregation begins to reach their hearts. And the word that has been presented and has already put its seed in their hearts begins to germinate as the saints begin to pray and to praise God and to reach out. And after a while you see that sinner, or maybe it's a member of another church that has not been taught the fullness of salvation and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, do you see that individual with tears running down their cheeks? And it's amusing sometimes to watch them as they look around and timidly raise their hands. And you know it's the first time they have ever raised their hands in worship and adoration to God. But you watch them as they begin to raise their hands and worship God and praise Him, and it isn't long until the Holy Ghost is moving and somebody's speaking in a heavenly language. Praise God. Prayer generates desire for prayer. Praying people inspire people to pray. There's something about an inspired prayer that gets a hold of others that hear it. And I don't know, when I talk about prayer, I suppose I always think about my grandparents. They loved to pray. And I was just a boy. We would go visit, or they'd come to visit us. No meeting ever ended without a prayer meeting. It didn't matter what was happening. Whenever it was time to break up the family meeting and go, somebody said, "Let's pray." Now, I was just a kid. And I didn't mind praying. I respected prayer, but I wasn't able to pray all that long. You know, about 4 or 5 minutes, and I said about everything I could think of to say. And then I was ready to get out with my cousins and romp and run and play and have a good time. Now, I had anything against prayer, against God. You know, I just got my little cup full real quick. And I always listen, because, you know, we weren't allowed to get up and go run and play while prayer meeting was going on. And I knew we was running out of time. Everybody was fixing to go, and I loved my cousins, loved to be with them, just a little bit more time to play with them. But whenever they said, "Let's pray," I always worried because I knew when my grandmother and grandfather hit their knees, it wasn't going to be a little bitty old now I lay me down to sleep. God keep your hand on us this day as we travel. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. And that and goodbye. I'd listen for it. And I could tell by the tone of their voice whether it was going to be a lengthy one or a short one. Because there was a certain feel to it. And brother, when they got into that, I knew I might as well just relax and stay there because they were going to pray. And I knew also that when they started getting into it, it wasn't going to be long until the uncles and the aunts and mom and dad started feeling the same thing grandma and grandpa was feeling. And that little family prayer meeting was going to turn into a real Pentecostal prayer meeting. And, you know, 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, we're still going to be there on our knees. And they were going to be praying. You know why it turned into that? Because that old man and woman knew how to touch God. And there's something about it. And I've always been impressed with this. When my grandfather prayed, it seemed like that he had a direct line to heaven. Just the tone of his voice, the sound of it, the faith and the confidence with which he put forth his words of prayer made you feel like that he had already made contact with God, and whatever God was doing, he stopped and said, "Hey, that's C.P. Kilgore praying. I want to hear what he has to say." You know, that was the feeling I got. It wasn't what Granddad ever told me. That was just the feeling I got when I heard him praying. And when he began to pray that way, and I'll have to say that even in my own heart, when I was through with my prayers, there were times that God would begin to touch my heart because they were reaching out and touching God in their prayers. Prayer becomes infectious. It's inspirational. Even in a church service, you stand and have prayer for prayer requests, and you let one individual get under a real burden. I'm not talking about somebody just getting long-winded, but I'm talking about somebody getting under a burden. Everybody else has stopped praying, but there's one dear sister or brother that's feeling the burden. They've made contact with God. Their faith and their confidence is clear and pure, and they're talking to God. It isn't long until somebody over here is going to pick it up, and somebody else is going to pick it up, and someone else is going to pick it up. And it's going to inspire the church. I've seen it happen where folks stood and prayed for 30 or 40 minutes, and they would have sat down after a minute or two. But one individual touched God, and their prayer was so pure, and it was so beautiful and full of meaning that everyone else was inspired, and they began to reach into their hearts and pull out prayers from the depths of their soul. What a beautiful time it is. Hallelujah. You know, prayer is a beautiful thing. When we get into it and the Spirit of the Lord is moving, the Holy Ghost is there, our hearts are touched. What a beautiful thing it is. Hallelujah. There's nothing more beautiful than a prayer meeting where folks are really reaching out and touching God, where there's a two-way flow of the Spirit. Not only are we talking to God, but the Holy Ghost is talking to us as well. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just feel like we ought to lift our hands and love Him some more right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our Father which art in heaven. What a beautiful, faith-inspiring statement. We recognize, first of all, His deity. We recognize His omnipresence and omnipotence. Because He is everywhere. He is not earthbound. He is not confined to one small spot. Our Father, which art in heaven, the recognition of the fact that God is Spirit. And as Spirit, He fills the universe. And so when I pray, I am not praying to a localized force or power. But my prayer is going to the power of heaven and earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven,
I've recognized his deity. I've recognized his omnipresence. I've recognized his omnipotence. I've recognized his omniscience. And in recognizing that he is almighty and all-powerful, faith begins to build in my heart. When I realize that my Father can do everything, then it doesn't matter. So what if it's an impossible situation? God's able to handle it. Hallelujah. I said, God's able to handle it. There is nothing impossible with God. Folks come again and again with a testimony. Brother Shoemaker, God did a miracle. We had prayer. The miracle. Finances. Family problems. Physical problems. Spiritual problems. God did a miracle. Hallelujah. We have a young man in our church that had a tumor, a brain tumor. He had surgery, brain surgery. And when I walked into his room, he hadn't been in the church all that long. Very beautiful young man. He had come out of the hippie world, the drug scene, and God did such a beautiful job on him like he does on everybody else. They'll give him a chance. And he had brain surgery. And I walked in intensive care unit that day after the surgery. I walked over to his bedside, and he had just come out of surgery, just come through the recovery room for a while, and here he was now, after several hours on the operating table, and his head's all shaved and bandaged, and he reached a hand up to me, and I reached over and gripped his hand. I said, "Brother Larry, how you doing?" And he was still a lot under the influence of the drugs, but at a point where many folks would have been in the midst of suffering or so doped or so out of it they wouldn't know. And I'll never forget the expression as a smile came across his face. His voice was a little weaker than usual, but it was strong enough to be easily heard. He said, "Great." He'd just come out of brain surgery and took a tumor off of his brain, his skull had been cut open, his head shaved, and he reaches a hand up and a firm grip on mine. "How you doing, Brother Larry?" "Great." The doctors are amazed. They don't understand his recovery. They had him at Stanford a few weeks after the surgery before a board of 21 doctors and surgeons questioning him and talking to him. And talking about the miracle, and that young man in his own simple, straightforward, faith-filled way was able to tell them of the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Our Father! Hallelujah! Who am I praying to? I'm not praying to a political power that can be shaken today and overthrown tomorrow, but I'm talking to the God of the universe. Hallelujah! The one that put it all in place in the beginning. The one that established it all in the beginning. The one that can call the stars by name. And the one that wrote out the pathway for the planets, the earth, the sun, the moon. Hallelujah. I'm not just praying to some force. I'm praying to God. Hallelujah. The God of the universe. Hallelujah. 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 And the very way that I am told to address him inspires faith. He said at one time, "What man of you, having a son, if he came and asked for bread, would give him a stone?" He said, "And if you, being earthly, carnal, human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father, Heavenly Father, know how to give unto them that ask Him?"
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father. 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 Oh, not a man with his collar turned around backwards, but the God of the universe. Hallelujah. Father. Just to think. I have a little boy in my church, and he's a sweet little fella. They haven't been coming all that long, but he never knew his father. He never knew him. He is about
I guess 10 years old now. And recently he began to bug his mother. He said, "Mom, tell me about my dad. I want to meet my daddy." He had already met him, but he didn't know who he was. Problems arose shortly after the child was conceived, and before he was born, there was a separation and divorce and problems associated with it. And the little boy wanted to meet his father. And the mother came to me, "Brother Shoemake, what about it? What do I do about it?" I said, "Well, tell me about his dad. He had problems in the past, but for 10 years, he's been faithful with his child support. He's paid it faithfully. He stayed out of the picture, never wanting to cause any trouble or problems. And he's been a real gentleman in all respects regarding his family. He supported it, the boy." And I said, "Well, it seems to me that with that attitude that the boy ought to be able to know his father. You can watch and see that no problems develop." Last Sunday night, I stepped on the platform 2 or 3 minutes before I started church. That little boy come running up on the platform and grabbed me by the hand. He usually comes around for a hug every night anyway, but he come up there before church and grabbed me by the hand and said, "Brother Shoemake, my daddy's here tonight. My daddy's here tonight." He was so excited. His dad took him out to an amusement park the other day and took him on rides and bought him hot dogs. And all he could talk about for 2 or 3 days afterwards, "My daddy did this. My daddy did that. My daddy did something else." So thrilled. He said, "My daddy's here tonight." And I knew that what he wanted was for me to go back and meet his daddy. And I did just exactly that. I don't know what I'd planned on doing, but I forgot whatever it was. I walked back with that boy and I met his daddy. He was so proud of his daddy and the fact that he had one. How much more proud should we be that the God of the universe has opened it up? It wasn't our choice, but it was his. Hallelujah. So we call him Father. Father. Hallelujah. Father. Many of you heard Brother Littlefield tell about the tragedy that struck on the University of Texas campus. He was shot down by the sniper, and he lay out there in the open, bleeding, hurting. And every time anyone tried to get to him, the sniper would start shooting him, and he frightened him away. And finally, Brother Littlefield, in his desperation, cried out and said, "Somebody go tell my daddy I'm here." A grown man, married, but laying there wounded, bleeding to death. "Somebody go get my daddy." And friend, when that daddy got there, bullets couldn't keep him away. The sniper couldn't scare him away. Hallelujah. Daddy's going to go out there and get that boy if it's at all possible. He said, "If you, being human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" And so the burdens come on. The problems pile up. The troubles line up. And there's one right after the other. Our hearts are broken. And in our desperation and our frustration, nobody understands. Nobody cares. No, don't believe that. Friend, when the tears begin to flow, the Bible said we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember the day that I fell on my face so desperate. I was backed in a corner and didn't know any way out. I fell on my face.
And all I could do was weep. I couldn't even tell God the problem. All I could do was cry. So burdened down, and I didn't know what to do. As I lay on my face, weeping before God, it wasn't but a little while until I felt a hand on my shoulders. If I'd have looked around, I wouldn't have seen anyone, but I felt it there. I heard a voice. If there had been anyone else in the room, I don't know that they would have heard it. But I heard a voice, and God says, "It's going to be all right." You know something? He didn't give me an answer. He didn't give me a solution. He didn't tell me how the problem was going to be worked out. But he just simply walked over and laid his hand on my shoulder. God's will for you may not include a Trans Am. It may be a Volkswagen. It may be evangelizing in a used car. But if you've learned how to touch God in the prayer room, if you've learned how to get a hold of God so that you get before an audience and you can minister, not sermonize, but minister, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Oh, that the Spirit of God could move us. It isn't so much that we have to lay everything there and give it up and say, "God, I'm not going to have it," as it is our willingness in just simply letting God direct our steps. Let's let God handle it. You see, there's so much that we don't know. There's so much about life that we don't and can't understand. The Holy Ghost has got to be at the center of it. God's got to lead us. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. The young lady come to me Sunday. She'd brought a young man to church, or a young lady to church Thursday night. She received the Holy Ghost. A young man to church Sunday morning, he received the Holy Ghost. Two young men to church Sunday night, they received the Holy Ghost. For 2 or 3 months, she's been going to the church every morning at 6:30 for prayer. And as she's been praying, her prayer has been something like this: "God, what you feel for them. Let me know the same burden for that lost soul that you know for them." And she's been praying it every day before she goes to work. She'd been witnessing on the job, and it seemed there were no results. One young lady that she witnessed to had just turned her down cold and let her know, "I'll never go to your church. I'm not interested in that kind of church." Thursday morning, she went to work after prayer meeting. And she was so burdened that when she walked in the office and looked at all of those sinners, she started crying. She said, "Brother Shoemaker, I went on into the back room to work in the files because I couldn't stop crying." She said after about 3 hours, that young lady that she had witnessed to walked back there and said, "Elaine, what's wrong?" She said, "I just turned around and looked at her and said, 'You're my problem. You're going to hell and you don't care. You're all lost and you can't see it. You need God, but you don't know it.'" That night, that young lady was in the altar speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. 3 more filled with the Holy Ghost yesterday or day before yesterday. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not what I wish, not what I want,
But God, what do you desire? We've got enough young people in this congregation this morning to begin to shake our churches. And when our churches begin to shake, we can begin to shake our communities. And when the communities begin to stir, we can shake our state. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We need a revival. I said we need a revival. We need a revival. Times have changed somewhat, and I know things are a lot better for most of us. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell on 120. And before the day was over, they had so affected that city that 3,000 more had prayed through that day. And we take 20,000 to a city for a general conference and rejoice if one or two pray through to the Holy Ghost. A 120 shook a city. We'll bring 2,000 to Reading, and what are we going to do to Reading? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to fill the tills of the motels. We're going to line the pockets of the restaurant owners with money. We're going to wear the carpets of the vestibules. We stand out there and talk and visit. And we're going to bust and carpool our kids back home, and they're still going to go there with a carnal spirit and attitude. We need a shaking and a stirring. The Holy Ghost needs to move in this place. The will of God needs to be done in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Thy will, thy will, thy will, thy will, thy will, thy will. You can't legislate it. You can't make rules and accomplish it. You write your rules out and they'll fail. You legislate it and it's doomed for defeat before the final vote's taken. Friend, there's going to be something in our hearts and stirring from within, or there's not going to be anything. Rules without an inner feeling is nothing but Phariseeism. Friend, you can crucify me when this is over when you want to, but rules won't get the job done. Make your rules for our youth camp. Make your rules for our youth conventions. Make the rules for the minister. But there's nothing that's going to bring revival until some individuals begin to reach out to God. And thy will be done, God. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Friend, we need a general stirring. We need the Holy Ghost to move in this place. We can get up here every night and tell everybody what they're doing wrong, all we want to and all we can. And it's not going to change many lives until the Holy Ghost begins to move in some hearts. Hallelujah. I don't know how much time I've got left, and I sure don't want to take advantage of this, but I want the Holy Ghost to move here today. I want the Spirit of God to touch our hearts today. Hallelujah. I want us to get a hold of something today that would make us effective in the rest of this conference. I have young people here. I want them to go back home. They need a touch. Confess it. I confess it. But what better place than when we have all come together and our desires are all the same. God, minister to our young people. What better place than this place right here for us to have a move of the Spirit. Our young people go back home and start a revival in every church that's represented in this conference. Hallelujah. I believe it can happen. I said, I believe it can happen. I believe it. Hallelujah. I remember the conference in Bakersfield where Brother Cagle's young people prayed them through to the Holy Ghost on their bus. We've had managers call the rooms in the hotels because our kids were too noisy. In past conferences, running up and down the halls, and I love our young people, and fellowship's a wonderful thing, and I'm not just coming down on them, but we've had managers call and please get your young people quiet. They're creating such a disturbance that no one else can sleep. It's happened at our general conferences that I wonder if any managers ever called a room because there was an outbreak of Holy Ghost power there and said, what's going on? I wonder if they've ever had to walk out to the poolside because a group of young folks sitting out there got to talking about the Lord and the Holy Ghost and the Spirit began to move and they had an old-fashioned Holy Ghost move and revival out there by the pool. They've gone out there and said, you're going to have to get quiet. Other folks are trying to sleep. I say, if we disturb this city, it shouldn't be by our carelessness or inconsideration for their rest. But if we disturb them at all, it ought to be the same kind of thing the Apostle Paul did. And the Bible said they accused them of turning the city upside down with their gospel. Hallelujah. 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 What do you say? We stand and let's love the Lord. Give Him an applause offering if you feel like it. Let's let the Holy Ghost move here this morning. You'd reach over and take the hand of somebody near you right now and let's pray for one another. Let's pray that God would move through us with such a desire and spirit of dedication and surrender that the Holy Ghost will fall continually throughout this conference. Hallelujah. God, I pray you would minister to every person in this building today, the young and the old alike. God, minister to us all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I pray you would minister the power of your Spirit in this place until everyone is moved.
like to hear about the Spirit of the Lord's Prayer. And then I like to see it flow and move in operation as it's doing right now. Praise God. Appreciate the good Spirit of the Lord that we feel here this morning. You may be seated. Appreciate this message that the Lord has laid upon Brother Shoemaker's heart.